Good morning and welcome back. Thanks for joining us on another beautiful Thursday morning. Last week, we were breaking down the top five SummerSlam matches of all time. And longtime listener and friend of the show, firefighter Brian, posed the question, who could be considered Mr. SummerSlam? We all know that the WWE markets HBK Shawn Michaels as Mr. WrestleMania due to his impressive victories at the grandest stage of them all, the way he always seems to steal the show. But then we turn to the biggest party of the summer. Who has done the same at the biggest party of the summer? Who has maybe the most wins, maybe the best matches? Who could you make an argument to say shines the brightest each year at SummerSlam? That's the question of today's show. Who is Mr. SummerSlam right here on 80s Wrestling, the podcast? My name is Jumpin' Jay, and as always, I sit beside the New Jersey Herald cover boy. If you guys are in the New Jersey area, you got to check out today's paper, because our man, the Confather, Tommy Fierro, front and center this morning. Good morning, Tommy. How you doing, brother? Great day to be reading the paper in New Jersey.
Hey, man, good morning, and welcome, everyone, to another episode of 80s Wrestling, the podcast. Jay, if my voice goes on me during the podcast, I apologize. For some reason, my voice is coming and going all week long. I don't know if I'm a horse getting sick. I don't know what it is, so bear with me if I lose my voice during the podcast. But, yeah, man, today, last week, the New Jersey Herald, the record newspaper, they're all under the USA Today network. They came in and did a big story on the Wrestling Collector, and it went live on their website 2 days ago. You guys can just type in Google, you know, Tommy Fierro Wrestling Collector, and it'll come up. And if you live in New Jersey area, it actually just dropped today. I was shocked, man. It was the front page of the paper, and the second page, it's a two-page story, and the second page is like huge, giant pictures of me in the store. It's really, really, I just actually found out about it about 5 minutes before live, so I'm still pretty shocked by the amazing coverage of the front page. Hopefully it leads to some business here today at the Wrestling Collector and throughout the weekend. But I'm excited to talk about today's episode. Mr. SummerSlam, as you know, I was about to say, Mr. WrestleMania, Shawn Michaels pretty much, you know, has that title. And we started talking last week about who can be Mr. SummerSlam if there ever was a name to be officially given to someone. And there's a lot of choices we can go off of. I was looking at some of the past lineups throughout the years today, and there's been some classic matches and, more importantly, classic moments. And we want to hear from you who you guys think. It doesn't have to be just one guy. It could be a couple guys that are in the running for it that you believe should be Mr. SummerSlam. The call-in line here is area code 516-595-8295. Again, that's 516-595-8295. Jumpin' Jay, I know someone that won't be on your list today, and it's someone that it seems over the last few weeks here on the podcast you've had some personal differences with, and that's Mr. WrestleMania himself, Shawn Michaels. So I know you're probably bothered by the fact that he's called Mr. WrestleMania. There's no way ever that you would give him the Mr. SummerSlam moniker as well. There must have been some heat back in the day between Shawn Michaels and Boris Zukov that we don't know about. I'm not sure where Jay's animosity from the Heartbreak Kid is coming, but he's got to be in the running also, I think. For Mr. SummerSlam, he might, you know, there's a lot, but he had some classic SummerSlam moments as well.
Oh, he did. And I got nothing but love for Shawn Michaels. I want to get that out. I want to clear the air. I love Shawn Michaels, big Shawn Michaels fan. I'm just more of a Marty Jannetty guy. I've been up very upfront with my stance on the Rockers, but yeah, when you break down an event like SummerSlam, like WrestleMania, the Rumble, and you try to determine who could have the moniker Mr. said event. So in this case, Mr. SummerSlam. If you talk about Shawn Michaels has had 11 SummerSlam matches, 6 wins, 4 losses, and 1 draw, basically. And so But I don't know what's the qualifying thing here. Is it number of matches? Because I think The Undertaker and Randy Orton are tied for the most SummerSlam appearances at 16 appearances each. Or is it most wins? Because I think most wins is The Undertaker at 10. Or is it biggest matches? When you talk about main eventing SummerSlam, Brock Lesnar has main evented SummerSlam more than anybody else. He's headlined that event 9 times. But has he had the best matches? I guess that's what's up for discussion here, Mr. Tommy Fierro.
I'm very impressed with the amount of homework you've done on this episode. These are two facts I did not know. Man, how many main events has The Undertaker headlined for SummerSlam?
I don't know how many he's headlined. The Undertaker has won 10 matches at SummerSlam. It's Brock Lesnar who holds the main event record. He's main evented 9 times at SummerSlam.
Wow.
But these are just statistics. 3 out of 4 people can make up statistics. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but listen, man. The headline, I didn't realize that Brock headlined 9 SummerSlams. I know last week at the end we started talking about this very topic, and I don't know, but you said it or someone else said about Brock Lesnar and how he should definitely be in the running for it. But, yeah, man, if he holds the record for the amount of SummerSlam main events, that's pretty impressive. And then Undertaker, most wins 10, that's also very impressive. But, I mean, there's so many different moments and memories, and again, it's a subjective, I'm sure. Different people that call in are going to have different guys in their list, but I believe Undertaker's going to probably be on everyone's list, and I believe Brock Lesnar is going to be on everyone's list if we're naming 5 guys. I mean, those two statistics right there are incredibly impressive.
You know, and when we talk about Brock Lesnar, he's been at SummerSlam 12 times. So out of 12 appearances, he's headlined. He's main evented 9 of his 12 appearances at SummerSlam. I think what's even more impressive, he first main evented in 2002. Against The Rock. The next time he main evented was a decade later, 10 years later. So there was a 10-year gap where he's off playing football, UFC, but he headlines in 2002. He headlines again 10 years later in 2012, and then he just goes on a streak. He main evented SummerSlam in 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, and then again in 2022. So the man is a beast, no pun intended, when it comes to SummerSlam.
Yeah, man. He's definitely in my top 5. I got to figure out, I try to go into this open-minded because I find myself the last couple of weeks when we do, and I'm a fan of these top 5 lists. I love to hear people's opinions and stuff. I found myself, and I know you have too, Jay, over the last couple of weeks when we're talking about a topic, we have our list. At least I know I have. I've literally, from what our callers call in and say, I find myself scratching names off my own list and adding someone else. So I don't want to be too trigger happy this early into the podcast today. So I'm definitely going to put Undertaker and Brock Lesnar on my top 5 for Mr. SummerSlam. And I'm interested and curious to listen to everyone's opinions and try and persuade me one way or another to add some names to my list. But those two are definitely going to be on mine for sure.
Yeah, it's fun to create the list, and it's going to be real tough to narrow it down to one guy who can have the nickname Mr. SummerSlam, at least in the eyes of this podcast anyway. So we're going to jump into the slam line. But before we do, I got to be up front, Mr. Fierro. I communicated with you off the air, but I want the listeners to know as well. It's going to be a little bit of a shorter show today. I've got a hard out at about 15 minutes to the hour. So about 10:45 Eastern time. I got a dip. I got a business meeting that I have to get to right at 11. So it'll be a little bit of a condensed show today. So we don't have much time to debate who is Mr. SummerSlam, but we're going to get into it, and we're gonna come up with a definitive answer by the end of this 45-minute episode here today. To kick us off, a guy who you think I had statistics a minute ago, Tommy Fierro. This is the guy who is the walking encyclopedia, and he's going to break down exactly who should be Mr. SummerSlam and exactly why. It's time to head out to the West Coast and connect with Babyface Brian. Brian, good morning, sir. We're talking about Mr. SummerSlam. Who do you got? Give us your opinion.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Before we get into that, I just got to congratulate our longtime caller, friend of the show, Firefighter Brian, on the birth of his son. I don't know if he's going to call in today, but huge shout out to Brian and his wife for their baby boy. Was so stoked to see the group text to a bunch of us a couple days ago. So congratulations, Firefighter Brian. Hope we get to hear from him today. And I'll try to keep this short. I saw your artwork for today's episode. A lot of great guys on that artwork with Brock and Randy Orton and Bret Hart and The Undertaker and Triple H. One other guy that wasn't somebody that I got to see a bunch but has a good record at SummerSlam is Edge. And then the guys on my top five, I would have to put Bret Hart on there also. That was kind of the first guy that came to mind. I think he was 7-4 at SummerSlam. Hulk Hogan, of course, I think he went 6-0 with a couple
undefeated.
Yeah, the first four he was there, and then also beat Randy Orton and Shawn Michaels. And Undertaker up there, 10 wins. My top two, I'd actually just go back from the prime years of me watching, which was the first five SummerSlams, and throw out a couple names that haven't been that weren't on there, and that would be Randy Savage with four matches at SummerSlam and a wedding, and basically main evented the first two SummerSlams, also faced Dusty Rhodes, had his closed the show with the wedding with Elizabeth, and then had kind of a co-main event in 92 where he faced the Ultimate Warrior, and Davey Boy and Shawn closed the show. And for me, when I just, in my heart, the guy I think was Mr. SummerSlam, the guy that I think of first when I think of my favorite years of wrestling would be the Ultimate Warrior. Just his surprise appearance to shock the Honky Tonk Man and win the IC title after Honky Tonk's 454-day run, and then the next year to have a great match at the SummerSlam Tommy attended where he beat Rick Rude, won the IC title, and then the main event the following year against Rick Rude in the cage for the world title, and then the main event the year after that with Hogan against the Triangle of Terror, and then the following year again against Randy Savage where he got the count out win with the interference from Flair and Perfect. And that's kind of a weird show where you got Savage and Warrior, basically both baby faces to close that match, and also Davey Boy and Bret Hart, both baby faces to close the show. So of Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania 6 as being this babyface match, and they always, kind of, there's always talk about how it always worked better if you've got a heel, but SummerSlam 92, one of the biggest ever, the two main events were both just baby faces facing each other. So, yeah, my guy, Ultimate Warrior would be who I'd put in the top slot. A lot of fun as far as talking about this topic for sure.
The Ultimate Warrior, babyface Brian's pick for Mr. SummerSlam. Like you laid out, he's 5-0 at SummerSlam, had some big spots, some big moments at the biggest party of the summer. Not going to lie, did not think you would come out with the Ultimate Warrior as your top pick, but if you're a fan of early SummerSlams, it's hard to argue with the impact of a guy like the Warrior on that event.
Yeah, I mean, if we ask Toto at Tom and Firefighter Brian, these guys that never left their, they only left for brief periods, but have been here a lot longer haul and watched all these years, I totally would get, a different answer and totally respect that. And Tommy Fierro, same thing, and you. So, but yeah, for me, I didn't watch wrestling for about 20 years, so for me, when I think SummerSlam, that's the guy I think of. So that's who to me and very few others would be Mr. SummerSlam.
Hey, real quick before you leave, I just saw a really awesome statistic, and he, again, five's going to be tough, but I just want to throw this out there, is John Cena. John Cena has had 15 SummerSlam appearances, and check this out. 10 of the 15 matches that he had in SummerSlam involved the WWE Championship. That's a pretty impressive record as well.
Definitely, and I think he went like 5-10, if I remember right. So he didn't win all the time, but a lot of championship matches. And then, and yeah, Brock Lesnar, the it's tough to top the match quality over the last couple decades, and being the headliner. So that would be up there on my list too. He might be the round out of maybe the fifth guy as far as who my five would be. But yeah, I just want to shout out some love for Macho Man Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, and Bret Hart, probably the three guys I think of most, and Ultimate Warrior top on the list. So, again, congratulations to Brian, Firefighter Brian and his wife, and love the topic this week as always. Congratulations to you, Tommy. I'm going to have to get online and check out the New Jersey Herald, you said it is?
Yes, sir. If you just type in Tommy Fierro, the Wrestling Collector, New Jersey Herald on Google, it'll come right up. Or I'm going to post a link to it on our Instagram page for the store later. So either way, I'm sure you'll be able to check it out today.
Very cool. Awesome, guys. Thanks so much, and have a great weekend and getting ready for football, too. So that's exciting. Take care, guys.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, the countdown to the NFL season is upon us already. And, yeah, if you go check out that story in the New Jersey Herald, not only will you see a current photo of Tommy Fierro hanging out at the Wrestling Collector Superstore, but there's also a young Fierro hanging out with Jimmy Superfly Snuka. So that's a pretty cool deal to see both pictures right there on the front of the New Jersey Herald this morning.
Yeah, man, it's pretty neat, man. Hey, real quick, before you go to the next call, I got Brock Lesnar's SummerSlam matches up. Like you said, in 2002, he captured the title against The Rock, 25 years old. He was the youngest.
Yeah, that was at the time the youngest champion ever.
Until Randy Orton conquered him by 1 year and won it at 24. But listen to this lineup of matches. So 2002 against The Rock. Then, like you said, a decade later, he comes back and he wrestles Triple H in a no DQ match. 2014 against John Cena for the World Heavyweight Championship. 2015 against The Undertaker. 2016 against Randy Orton. 2017 against Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, and Samoa Joe in a fatal four-way for the Universal Championship. 2018 against Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. 2019 against Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship. 2022 against Roman Reigns in a last man standing match for the Undisputed Universal Championship. A crazy amount of big matches here for Brock Lesnar. That's a hell of a SummerSlam run for sure.
It is, and it's hard to argue with not giving him the moniker Mr. SummerSlam when you see just not only how many times he appeared on the pay-per-view, but how many times he's main eventing, and how many of those were for a championship is kind of insane. And the other thing that's insane to me, Tommy, is when you brought up John Cena, and Babyface Brian pointed out that John Cena, who is arguably this generation's Hulk Hogan, like if you were a child growing up in the last couple decades watching WWE, chances are you were a John Cena guy like a lot of us were Hulkamaniacs. And the fact that John Cena has won 5 matches at SummerSlam but lost twice as many, he's lost 10 matches at SummerSlam, that's kind of shocking to hear that the modern day guy, the face of the company, has a losing record by quite a bit at SummerSlam.
Yeah, man. Again, though, John was a tremendous part of SummerSlam throughout the years, and it's hard pressed not to put him on that top 5 list as well. So, I'm going through the lineup now. So Brock Lesnar held the most SummerSlam main events with 9. Tied for second is Randy Orton, John Cena, and The Undertaker with 5 main events. 3 is Hulk Hogan, Triple H, and Roman Reigns at 4. And then tied for 4th place with 3 main events, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and The Rock. So, I mean, that's amazing company to be in to begin with. But Brock has almost double the amount of main events from the second spot of Randy, Cena, and Undertaker at 5. And, again, it's all about, I'm sure that being in that top spot at SummerSlam, you're making a little bit extra in your paycheck being in that main event spot. So it's going to be a hard press for me, Jay, not to right now. I know we're probably halfway through the episode because you have to bounce out early for that $1 million meeting, by the way, everyone. Don't let Jay fool you. There's millions of dollars on the table here for an overseas expansion for his company. So, we're about halfway through. It's going to be hard pressed for me not to right now label Brock Lesnar Mr. SummerSlam. I'm going to do it. I'm going to label Brock Lesnar Mr. SummerSlam by this impressive record that he has.
You might be crowding the king a little too early, Tommy. Let's talk about somebody else that deserves the spotlight when it comes to SummerSlam. Let's talk about Bret the Hitman Hart. His name has been thrown around a couple times, and it's usually brought up in the context of that amazing match that he had with Mr. Perfect. Some people say if you're going to pick out a match that could maybe be considered close to the Randy Savage Ricky Steamboat Classic of WrestleMania 3, you could arguably say that Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect put on a very technically sound, almost perfect wrestling match at SummerSlam. But when you dissect Bret Hart's SummerSlam matches, not only does he have that match against Mr. Perfect, but he's competed for the World Championship at SummerSlam. He's competed for the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam. And he's even competed for the Tag Team Championship at SummerSlam. Is there anybody else on the roster who has competed for the three major championships in the company at SummerSlam? I got to believe Bret Hart's the only person to accomplish that. I'd have to do some big-time research to confirm that. But my assumption is he's got to be the only one that's gone for all three major championships at the SummerSlam event.
Yeah, I we'd have to do some research on that. I like looking at these statistics, and maybe it's something we can break down with other major events as well. I'm still looking at the statistics now as you were talking, and yeah, it's really hard not to put Bret in that top five spot as well. You know who else that wasn't in my top five spot, and now I might have to figure out a way to get him in here, because five's going to be tough. I'm looking at the best SummerSlam win-loss records, Jay. And number one is Edge at 9-2, followed by Hogan in the Hogan at 6-0, Warriors at 5-0, Charlotte Flair is at 5-0, The Undertaker is at 10-5-1. The worst SummerSlam records, Jay. We have, this is a surprise, I didn't know this, so I'm just looking this up. So Jeff Hardy is number one in match at SummerSlam. Jeff Hardy is 0-6. Booker T is 0-5. Baron Corbin is 0-4. And Marty Jannetty is 0-4. And like you said, Cena is 5-10. So that's some of the worst SummerSlam win-loss records there. And then also when I was mentioning earlier about the amount of SummerSlam main events, I said Brock had 9, then it was 5 with Undertaker, Cena, and Orton, followed by 4 with Roman, Triple H, and Hulk Hogan. 3 was Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and The Rock. And then there's a bunch that are tied with 2 SummerSlam main events, and that includes the Macho Man, Randy Savage, the Ultimate Warrior, Diesel, Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Edge, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and Braun Strowman, and 2 main events. So that makes it even more impressive when you see Brock Lesnar in 9 of them.
Yeah, because you just mentioned Edge's name. Oh, gosh, what did you say about Edge? He had one of the most impressive win-loss records. He was the first guy. You said he won 9, lost 2, but only 2 of those 11 matches were main events. And so when you look at Brock Lesnar main eventing 9 times, that kind of, to me, puts Edge out of the conversation already.
Yeah, I mean, Edge had a lot of great moments, though, in SummerSlam, but to be in the top five, I'm not sure. But I know that someone that might, and that's your co-host for ISPW Weekly, which now goes live each and every Thursday night on our ISPW Wrestling Facebook page at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And that's Toto with Tom joining us now on the podcast. Tom, looking forward to you and Jay going live tonight. And I'm looking forward to hearing who you believe are some names that should be considered for the title Mr. SummerSlam.
Bret Hart is by far the only name that comes to mind when I think of SummerSlam, and especially for this show, because we are focusing for the majority of the most part on the 80s and I would say early 90s, maybe mid-90s as well. But Bret has had classic matches with Owen Hart inside of a steel cage for the heavyweight championship, obviously with Mr. Perfect, which skyrocketed his career. And, of course, the 2 out of 3 falls match with Demolition when they regained the tag team titles. I was thinking about what Jumping Jay was saying about, is there anybody else who may have been involved in all of those championship matches aside from Bret? And I was thinking Shawn Michaels off the top of my head, but I don't think they ever did a tag team championship match at SummerSlam. So that eliminates them, but pretty off the top of my head, Jay, I think Bret might be the answer to that question, at least from the 80s to the 90s. Now, back when they were changing titles so many times in the 2000s and whatnot, there might be someone else on there, but for this show's perspective, I don't think it matters anyway. I want to touch on one thing that happened last week, and I know it wasn't mentioned here because it happened after our show last week. And by the way, before I get into that, we only have 45 minutes today, and that's perfect because Fireman Brian isn't calling. So that does allow some other people to call in. But wanted to take a moment just to mention the passing of Kevin Sullivan last Friday. And the reason why I want to bring it up is because his passing to me kind of it made me think about the term and the word kayfabe. And I sat back and I said to myself, and first of all, the reason why I put that word with Kevin Sullivan is because if you watched him and you saw what he did in the world of professional wrestling, you believed everything he did. Okay? And I was thinking to myself, and I'm going to ask you guys this question now too, did I enjoy professional wrestling more as a kid growing up, believing to a degree everything that was going on? Or do I appreciate it more now that I understand what it's all about? I am of the adage that I feel sorry for myself and for us as adults, because when I go to see a magician, I don't want to know how the tricks are done. I want to be mesmerized. I want to be awed. And I still don't have that same feeling I did as a kid when watching wrestling. And sometimes I hear it in Tommy's voice too. Like, you know, when he talks about being at the Meadowlands and the house shows and things that he did, I don't know if we're ever going to get that back because of how we know professional wrestling is nowadays. So I want to throw back to you guys. What do you think? Do you think the same? And is there some way we can bring it back?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think nostalgia is a magic.
I'll give you my take.
Okay. I was going to say, I think nostalgia is a wonderful, magical thing in itself. And I think it doesn't just pertain to professional wrestling. I think there's a lot of things from our childhood that we look back at under a certain light and in a certain way, and that it just doesn't feel the same. You could argue that even a holiday such as Christmas seemed much more magical as a kid. And maybe it's for the same, you know, reasons. Maybe it's just nostalgia. But there's a reason why sometimes I don't go back and watch old movies that I loved as a kid, because I know it won't hold up to my adult eyes. And so I think part of it is just as we grow up and we grow old, we lose a little bit of that. And I think it's always worth fighting to maintain some of that in one's life. And when it comes to professional wrestling, I'm of the thing where I absolutely loved it as a kid. And I believed 1,000% that what I was seeing in the ring was real. And then when I found out that the two superstars in the ring were actually working together, and chances are they were friends behind the scenes and got along, I actually got more interested in the industry of professional wrestling, because it now seemed like a traveling circus show even more to me, that these guys are probably riding together, talking together, eating together in the back, and then going out and putting on one heck of a performance and making us buy in and believe. So I actually am of the adage that I got more respect and more awe and wonder into the industry. To go back for a day or two and watch it through my childhood eyes, absolutely, because I think there's something very special about that. And I think it is something that as we grow old and grow up, that we end up missing out on some of the enjoyment in life because of that. Tommy, on to you.
Yeah. What you said just makes perfect sense, Jay, to a T. Unfortunately, I don't think kayfabe, it can't go back to that because of the – that was the question, right, about how if we can get back to the time where it's kayfabe again?
To a degree, yeah.
Yeah, so I wish, man, like you said, like – and I love how you said, Tom, how, like, you don't want to know how the magician's doing the trick. Unfortunately, in today's day and age with, you know, the socials, once social media came into play, like, I mean, we were still able to, you know, the wrestling world was still able to some way, somehow maneuver around the kayfabe stuff in the early 90s still, even though there was, you know, the Wrestling Observer and the Pro Wrestling Torch. I mean, only a small percentage of really diehards knew about that compared to the, you know, compared to the whole wrestling universe that watches it. But unfortunately, once, you know, the internet came and all these different social media platforms and outlets, and not just that, I mean, can you imagine sitting at home in 1987 and scrolling through your telephone and seeing pictures of Hercules Hernandez sitting at a pizzeria eating a pizza that he posts, you know, like it's so, the mystique was so, like, you didn't know these guys were such larger than life back then. You didn't have direct access to their life outside of the ring like you do today. And I think that is a big part of it. Again, the times change, and I think everyone now in 2024 knows that it's sports entertainment. And, you know, I would never say the word fake. I hate that word. But they know it's predetermined, and, you know, they know it's entertainment for what it is. Where back then, where it's still covered, and Tom, you know this because you grew up reading the same newspaper as I did in the same, pretty much the next town over from me, they covered wrestling in the 80s like it was a sport. You would see it in the sports section of the newspaper. You know, when they were coming to the Brendan Byrne Arena, they would be sharing, you know, the upcoming card, and they would post the results too. So it was more treated like a sport back then. I just think this, the way times have changed, and obviously social media is the biggest aspect of why I believe kayfabe will never go back to, unfortunately, being the way it was.
My favorite sportscaster of all time is Warner Wolf. He's kind of an idol to me, and I actually, early on in my life, wanted to be just like him as a sports broadcaster. Warner Wolf was on local New York radio, TV, and he would actually show highlights from Madison Square Garden, and he would go into the matches, and I always was intrigued by that. No other sportscaster in New York ever did that. It was pure genius on his part, I think, because, A, he drew a certain type of audience like myself who knew that every so often he was going to do that, and, B, because he was a fan himself, too. There's a very famous picture of Warner Wolf with Andre the Giant. I think Andre the Giant either had his hand over his face or picked him up or something. But you're right, Tommy. It was in the Star Ledger, which is the local newspaper here in New Jersey. I remember the headline saying Hogan pins Kamala in bold type, and then I'd read the article, and it was so interesting how they treated it back then. I do think that we need to go back somewhat to what it used to be, and I'll explain what I mean by that. A few weeks ago, the WWE unveiled a year-long program with the Wyatt Six. Okay, they've been pushing this as something special, borderline supernatural, but not. Anyway, they came out on Raw when they debuted, all dressed in their regalia, every single wrestler in the locker room for the WWE. Came over wonderful on TV, except the next day or a few hours later on Twitter, when we see a fan taking a picture of the Wyatt Six without their costumes and eating at a Whataburger. And that picture went onto social media. Now, for me, being old school, I looked at that picture on – actually, I didn't look at that picture. I still haven't seen that picture. It was mentioned all over social media. I didn't want to see that picture. But for me, being old school, I thought that in one single night, they basically killed everything they were striving to do for that faction. Why would you ever let your guard down? Why would you go into a Whataburger? Please go to the drive-thru. I don't understand the wrestler's mentality nowadays. Plus, you have people who are just looking to get that picture so they can get as many likes as they want on social media. I find that part of this business needs to change, even if we can't go back to strictly kayfabe.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I saw that picture. Listen, man, people can do – the guys, they can do obviously anything they want to do outside of the arena once they leave there. And obviously these guys have to eat. And, you know, they're rolling together right now. They're all together. They're traveling together. That's all great. I agree with all that. But I do hear what you're saying. They could have went to the drive-thru, right? Like if the restaurant was anywhere near the arena, you got to figure there's a chance at least that there could be some wrestling fans there. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was their debut, I believe, right? So like
exactly,
it was their debut. So I would have kept the mystique on a little bit longer. But again, man, it's a totally, totally different business than it was in the 80s. And unfortunately, the mindset of the majority of the talent are a lot different than the guys, their mentality from the 80s. That's another good way to sum it up, because I see in the 90s, I see that myself on the independent level. Just it's a different mentality than what it used to be. But again, well, man, things change and things progress.
I appreciate, Jay, what you said, because I am guilty as well of reading the Observer newsletter and looking for more information because I was intrigued by it. I mean, it grabbed me, it got a hold of me, and when you like something, I usually try and delve more into it, and then you mm-hmm. become a student of it, okay? Does it make you enjoy your hobby as much anymore? I'm not sure. There's still that little mystical, you know, vibe that is missing from me sometimes. I find myself critiquing what's happening on TV nowadays more than just enjoying the ride. And I really think that part of it, it has been gone from me.
Tom, real quick before you leave, I was going to say, I'm following, I don't follow AEW, but I follow WWE regularly now, and I'm watching both Raw and SmackDown now, and the live events, probably over the last couple months. My daughter is actually starting to get into it a little bit, which my wife, I'm sure, is going to kill me for. It was so cool last Friday, Jay and Tom. I came home from work. I closed the store probably. I was supposed to close at 8, but it was slow, so I closed like around 7:40 or so. So I got back to my house about like 8:15. And I walked in the house, and SmackDown was on, and my daughter was watching it. And I'm like, what is this cool, you know? But she's starting to get into the – she doesn't really care about the – she doesn't really care about the moves or the matches. She's into, like, the entrances, like, mm-hmm. coming out to the music. And then she likes the drama, too, like, with she wants to know what's going to happen next with, you know, Roman getting back his leg, and then what's going on with Dominic and Liv and Rhea. So it's kind of like a little soap opera, you know? So, like, I'm watching it now because she's starting to get into it. So I was just wanted to say real quick is, like, last week for SummerSlam or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I specifically made sure I didn't go nowhere near the internet all day long on SummerSlam Saturday. I wanted to be surprised. Because a lot of times they'll say, you know, they'd tell you what, you know, last second, like something that's going to happen on one of the wrestling websites. And then, you know, obviously if I go on Facebook, I'm following all those different pages. So I don't want nothing to jump up in my news feed. So, like, I stay away from the internet on the day of a pay-per-view, and especially a big one like a SummerSlam or a WrestleMania. I've been doing this now for the last few months, and I want to be surprised as the fans sitting at home watching it is. So I don't stay away from the internet now on the day of a pay-per-view. And I would say I suggest to anyone out there, because we're not going to be able to make kayfabe go back like it did back in the 80s or even the 90s. But what we could do is on the day of a big event like a WrestleMania or a SummerSlam or a Survivor Series or a Rumble or a big AEW event, if you're an AEW fan, just stay away from the internet that day. You know, find something, you know, go in and do it. And I know it's tough. I mean, for me and for everybody, your hands are, you know, locked to your phone. It's your personal computer all day, all night long. It's tough not to look at it. But I found myself for SummerSlam anyway, I made sure I didn't check out anything all day. And it's funner to watch that way. So I suggest anyone out there, give it a try next pay-per-view. Just don't, like, maybe in the morning time, go on your Facebook, do what you got to do, and then stay clear from it until, you know, until the pay-per-view's over. And maybe you'll enjoy it more that way. I did.
Hey, I'm going to get off now because I got to prepare for ISPW Weekly tonight. But before I do get off, I just want to ask you something, Jay, and I'll listen to your comments online. Your son is a wrestling fan right now, and I'm interested in knowing what is his take on it. Does he understand pro wrestling, what it is, or is he still watching it through those rose-colored glasses like we all did as children?
That's a great question. I was actually going to say, I think the cure to this is if you have the ability to watch wrestling with a child of yours next to you. So my 11-year-old son loves professional wrestling. And when we watch the pay-per-views together and I find myself becoming cynical or not liking a storyline, if I just look over at him and see that he's 1,000% invested, and then I can kind of watch it again through his eyes. It's kind of like when you become a parent and you're celebrating Christmas or big holidays or birthdays with your little kids, and you kind of re-experience it through them. And I think wrestling is the same way. I think that's an excellent point, total what Tom is, because, yeah, he understands that it's a, you know, it's a work, but he absolutely does not care. It does not, that thought does not sit in his brain. He is 1,000 invested into what's going on. And so then when you can watch it through his eyes, yeah, it makes me kind of watch it through my own childhood eyes again. And so, yeah, it has been a good thing to be able to have a child who's into it and gets lost in it just like I once did.
I got to go prepare for a show. See you later.
We're going live, buddy.
All
get
right,
ready.
Hey, listen, we only got 2 minutes left. Jay has a hard out at 15 minutes to the hour. We're going to get on right now. It's going to be real quick, unfortunately. We'll have to catch up with him next week. A new dad, a regular to Who's Slamming Who, our good friend, Firefighter Brian. Congratulations, my friend. And we're so happy for you, man. How are you?
Thank you guys very much. How are you guys?
Good, we're doing
man.
Very well, man.
We're
so excited for you,
show
Firefighter Brian.
We don't know if you heard it at the beginning, but Jay has a hard out in about 90 seconds. I'm happy you called so we can wish you congratulations, man, and we're so happy for you and your family. Real quick, we're going to catch up next week and tell us all about how you haven't slept for the last week. Who is your Mr. SummerSlam?
I said it last week. I'm still going with Brett, but we'll elaborate next week. And I'll just say quick, rest in paradise, Kevin Sullivan. I met him at a place, I don't know, maybe you heard of it, Tommy, the Wrestling Collector. It was actually my first visit to the Wrestling Collector. The day I met you, Tommy, is when I met Kevin Sullivan. And I'm really impressed with what WWE did with their video remembering him. So, especially when based on his track record, his questionable decisions, and of course his checkered past out of the ring. But God bless Kevin Sullivan, wherever he is, and everything he did for this business. And thank you guys for your well wishes and everything. And yes, let's talk next week and have a good live show. God bless.
You too, man. Congratulations again, guys.
Firefighter.
Yes, absolutely. Jay, good luck on your big meeting today. I hope you nail that $17 million deal.
Yeah.
And until next week, Everyone have a great weekend, and we'll catch you right here on 80s Wrestling, the podcast.